The Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation brings you Crime Photographer.
Hiya, Casey.
Hi.
Look, here comes Tony.
Hiya, Tony.
Hiya, Casey.
You're going to give us that famous line of yours?
Well, I'm here to tell you that tomorrow begins a week dedicated to one of America's most famous institutions, the Boy Scouts of America.
They deserve our full support.
Right, Ethelbert. And since you've done your good deed for the day, Tony, suppose you proceed.
All right, Casey, I will. Anchor Hawking is the most famous name in glass. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tony Marvin. Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey, crime photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, Music to Die By. Half past 9 in the evening. In the cheaply furnished living room of a small, cheap apartment, a woman, rather pretty in a drab way, is darning socks. Her husband holds a magazine that he obviously isn't reading. In an apartment above, a radio is loudly tuned in on a dance band. And finally, the woman turns.
That music bother you, dear?
Huh?
Betty Welch is home.
Yeah?
We always know when we hear that radio upstairs.
I hadn't noticed.
No? You haven't read a word in that magazine since you turned it on.
I'm thinking.
Well, why don't you go to bed since you've got a tough day tomorrow?
If I ain't sleepy. Why don't you hit the hay? You've got to get up early for your job.
Oh, I wouldn't get any rest with that radio going over my head.
I'll go upstairs and ask Miss Welch to turn it down.
Oh, what's the use, Howard? She wouldn't do it. And according to Lisa's here, she's entitled to play it until 10 o'clock, and it's only a little after 8:30.
That's so.
Very good-looking gal, Miss Welch.
Yeah, not bad.
She's caused a lot of jealousy in this building.
So you told me.
Well, all husbands aren't like you, Howard. Some of them around here have been giving that blonde upstairs quite a play.
You hear that stuff from Mrs. Bloomington. That old dame across the hall does nothing but gossip.
Mrs. Bloomington isn't the only one.
Hmm? Yeah. Ada, I'm pretty restless. I won't be able to sleep unless I get a walk and maybe a couple of beers. I think I'll walk down to Eddie's Tavern and back.
Okay, but before you go, Howard, call up the super and tell him to fix that radiator.
Radiator?
The one in the kitchen.
The super won't fix radiators. Now it's too late.
He will if you ask him. You can get most anything out of town. Call him on the house phone now.
Okay.
I'll go across the hall and get Mrs. Bloomington to stay with me while you're out and the super's here.
What do you want to do that for?
I have a sense of the proprieties, Howard.
Proprieties? Hello, super. Hiya, John. This is Howard Clinton, apartment 4B. John, the radiator in the kitchen doesn't work. Can you come up and fix it? Well, I know it's late, John, but be a pal, huh? Yeah. Ah, swell. Thanks a million, fella. So long.
Good evening, Mr. Clinton.
Oh, hi, Miss Bloomington.
Did you get the super, Howard?
Yeah, he'll be right up.
I knew he'd do it for you.
I'll stay here with your wife, Mr. Clinton, so you needn't worry.
Thanks, Miss Bloomington. Somebody might kidnap her if she's alone.
They might. She's very pretty.
You see, I have one admirer, Howard.
Yeah. I'll get my hand coat.
Don't close your door when you go out. I'm leaving mine across the hall open, of course. So if my poor husband needs me, he can call, and I'll be sure to hear him.
How is your husband, Miss Bloomington?
Oh, just the same. He'll never be anything but an invalid tied to his bed. That music above distresses him so. But we can't demand that Betty Welch woman turn it off before 10 o'clock, I suppose.
No. Ada, I'll just have a few beers and come right home.
Don't hurry.
See you later, Miss Bloomington. So long.
So long, Mr. Clinton. Don't close the door.
Oh, sure. I won't be long.
Ava, dear, I don't know how you can stand the horrible radio of that horrible woman, Betty Welch, right over your apartment.
Just a minute.
Oh, you managed to get away, Howard.
Yeah. Hello, Betty.
Hello.
You're alone, I see.
Huh, did you expect to find me with a place full of company? You're the most jealous fellow I ever met.
Because I'm so crazy about you.
Take off your overcoat.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Have any trouble getting away?
I had to go all the way downstairs and then come up the back way tonight. Oh, Mrs. Bloomington's with Ada, so of course both doors are open.
You sure nobody saw you?
Sure. Hey. What guy's been up here with you?
Guy?
Look at this ashtray. You don't smoke cigars, do you?
Look, a fellow and his girlfriend came home with me last night, and I forgot to empty the ashtray they used. That's all.
Fellow with his girlfriend, huh?
Sure. Come on, I got music on for dancing. How about it?
Let's go.
Hey, I want to dance, not have the wind squeezed out of me.
When I get you in my arms, Betty, I don't care what...
Cut it. Behave yourself.
Okay.
Better. Nice, ain't it?
So nice, I never want to let you go. I never want another guy to hold you close like this.
Good to your dancing, big boy.
Yeah. Who was the mug who left them cigar butts here?
A very nice fella. I like him.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I can marry him if I want to.
You can, huh?
Mm-hmm. He's a good dancer, too. Like you.
Miss Welch, open your door. Miss Welch, this is John the Super. It's after 10 o'clock and everybody in the house is complaining about your radio.
The woman doesn't even answer
him.
She's probably gone out.
Miss Welch!
You're just wasting your breath, John. Use your pass key and open that door.
Yay. Yes, I got him, Mrs. Clinton.
Well, if you don't, nobody will ever get any sleep.
Yeah, I'll go in and turn that thing off, Mrs. Clinton, right now. I tell her... But... Holy!
What is it?
What's the matter?
Look!
My husband. There's a pistol beside them.
Come away. I called the police. I think the two of them are dead.
Well, we homicide guys got here, Miss Williams. That radio is still blasting away.
What did you find, Captain Morgan?
Well, the girl, Betty Welch, had been shot at close range through the forehead. She died instantly. The guy, as so often happens in these murder and suicide ideas, didn't aim so good at himself. He only creased the side of his skull.
He's alive then, Logan?
He's hardly hurt, Casey. Just knocked himself out for a while.
Have you questioned him yet?
Oh, plenty. And he's talked plenty.
He admits he killed the gal and tried to bump himself off?
No, he denies that. But he admits he was crazy about the girl and very jealous of her. And also, the murder gun has been identified as his. And the old dermal nitrate test shows that he fired a gun sometime today.
Well, everything's over for him, then. Except the hot seat.
Uh-huh. I wish all the cases I get were as easy to crack.
Yeah, well, where is the guy? I want some pictures of him.
He was taken down to headquarters just before you got here. But the murder gun's on that table. You probably want a shot of that.
Oh, yeah. German Luger, huh?
Yeah. This Howard Clinton brought it back from the war as a souvenir. He's an ex-GI.
Ex-GI, huh? Give me some more dope about him for my story, Captain. What do you do for a living?
Guy, he's a foreman at the big Adolphe greenhouses, a nurseryman and plant specialist.
Mm-hmm. Hey, was he on the job today, Logan?
Yeah.
Captain Logan, tell
excuse
me.
Excuse me a minute, Annie.
Yeah.
Well, since he denies the killing, Logan, how does he explain it?
He doesn't. He says something hit him and he blacked out, which isn't a very good story.
Your fingerprint guys went over his gun first thing.
Naturally. The gun was clean.
It's a little unusual for a guy to attempt suicide and then clean the fingerprints off his gun, isn't it?
It would be most unusual. If we hadn't found an initial handkerchief belonging to Clinton on the floor near the gun. For some reason, maybe he didn't intend to commit suicide at first.
He had that Luger wrapped in a handkerchief when he used it.
And the handkerchief showed a positive in the nitrate test.
Yeah, well, Logan, he worked in a greenhouse where he handled fertilizers that show the same reaction in a dermal nitrate test that gunpowder does. You have no proof that Clinton did this killing.
Look, I figured that fertilizer angle, Casey. Now, listen, amateur. It's Clinton all the way because nobody could have gotten out of this apartment after the killing.
No?
No. This is the only apartment on the top floor here, and there's no outside fire escape. And nobody could have gone downstairs after Clinton came to Betty Welch's apartment without being seen.
Why?
Because Clinton's wife in the apartment below had her door wide open. She and another woman, Mrs. Bloomington, sat facing the front stairs, and they're positive nobody came down.
Now, how about the back stairs?
Now, Mrs. Bloomington's husband's an invalid. His door was wide open, and he had a full view of the back stairs from his bed. He saw Clinton sneaking up him, but he saw nobody coming down.
Huh? I guess that settles that, Casey.
Well, witnesses aren't always reliable, Annie.
I'll give you 10-1 that the Bloomingtons are reliable.
Hmm. You talk that kind of odds, my pockets are lined with fish hooks.
Yeah.
Just the same, I want to meet the Bloomingtons.
Yeah, you'll find them downstairs. Go ahead, get acquainted.
Take care of them customers down the bar, Walter. Excuse me, Miss Williams. You were saying about that Mr. and Mrs. Bloomington?
Oh, that, to Casey's discomfort, Ethelbert.
Yeah?
They proved unimpeachable witnesses. Mm,
go right ahead, Annie. Rub it in.
I'm going to. Mrs. Bloomington and her husband are terribly respectable, law-abiding people. And the last thing they'd do would be to lie about anything connected with a murder.
I sized them up as okay.
This Howard Clinton's goose is cooked then, huh?
Yeah, but Miss Williams and I have been talking to him down at headquarters, Ethelbert. He's a big, strong-looking bozo who talks straight. I just can't see him killing a woman and then trying to kill himself.
Huh. He didn't talk very straight to his wife.
Well, after meeting his wife, I don't blame him for sneaking up to see that blonde.
What's the matter with Mrs. Clinton? I thought she was quite good-looking.
Oh, Annie, wait a minute. Looks aren't what count in women after you marry them. I know something about women, and I don't trust her.
How do you know so much about women and marriage?
Well, Annie, look. If you haven't suspected it as yet, we press photographers see you women at your best and your worst.
Which is the reason you remain a bachelor?
Which is the reason I remain a press photographer.
Huh. Well, I know what Casey means, Miss Williams. It's the same with us bartenders. We meet so many phony dames that a guy gets afraid of... afraid of all the gals who ain't just like you, Miss Williams.
I see.
Came back to the subject. This Mrs. Clinton had plenty of motive to shoot that blonde and try to shoot her husband, Casey.
I think she had plenty of motive for the killing, but she didn't have the opportunity.
Mrs. Bloomington was with her when Betty Welch was killed. So was the superintendent of the apartment house. Ada Clinton couldn't have done the job.
Nobody could have, but Clinton himself, apparently. Say, Annie, tomorrow morning, let's talk to Mrs. Bloomington again.
A short while ago, the Anchor Hocking Laboratories perfected a beautiful new material, lovely as century-old jade green Chinese porcelain, and as strong and heat-proof as the Fire King oven glass you use for baking. They called it jadeite. Expert designers used jadeite to achieve a new beauty in dinnerware. And today, jadeite dinnerware costs far less than the most ordinary dishes. Now, I know it sounds incredible, but it's true. You can buy a beautiful 35-piece jadeite dinner service for less than $5. Yes, less than $5 for 6 jadeite cups, 6 saucers, 6 dessert dishes, 6 salad plates, 6 dinner plates, 1 large vegetable bowl, a platter, and a sugar and creamer set. And jadeite dinnerware can also be purchased in open stock. Now, you'll find beautiful jadeite dinnerware at chain stores, department stores, hardware stores, and most other stores selling chinaware and glass. Ask for jadeite by name. Jadeite. J-A-D-E-I-T-E. Jadeite. The newest triumph of Anchor Hocking. The most famous name in glass.
Thanks, Mrs. Bloomington. 3 is my limit.
You have another, Mr. Casey.
sure, Mrs. Bloomington. Yeah, I just love tea.
The moment I first met you, I said to myself, there's a fellow tea drinker. Now, what were you saying, Mr. Casey?
I
remember. I was telling you about poor dear Ada Clinton asking me to come across the hall to her apartment last night because her husband was going out and John Felix, our superintendent, was coming up to fix the kitchen radiator.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I just love dear Ada, so I dropped everything and went over with her. It seems silly. The trooper is in her place often, and she's never asked for a chaperone before.
Often?
Casey?
Oh, no, don't misconstrue what I'm saying, Miss Whitney. A cousin with a girl like Ada could have no personal interest in such a common man, John Felix.
Well, what did Felix do to their radiator last night?
He placed an air valve, he said.
How long did that take?
He was out in the Clinton's kitchen from a little after 9:30 until after 10, when that Welch girl's radio should have been shut off.
At least half an hour.
Yes.
Well, could you see him working out in the kitchen?
No, but he was there.
Huh? Well, Mrs. Bloomington, this has been a delightful visit, but Miss Williams and I must go.
Not before we have another cup of tea, Mr. Casey.
Tea?
You'd like it so much.
No more tea, Mrs. Bloomington. No more tea.
If we're caught doing this,
wait a minute. Mrs. Clinton isn't home this afternoon, Annie, and nobody's prowling around the halls here. There. Swung the lock on her door. Come on in quick.
No, okay. I can't expect to find anything in her kitchen.
I don't expect to find anything, Annie. I really want to see the layout. Come in there with me.
Okay.
The slowest mechanic in the world couldn't use up half an hour replacing an air valve. Hey, this setup is perfect, kid.
What do you mean?
Kitchen stepladder here. Look out this window, Annie.
A window box?
Yeah. Nice wide strong. By placing the kitchen ladder on the window box, he could climb outside and easily pull himself through the window above, which is Betty Welch's kitchen.
Clinton and the Welch girl wouldn't have heard him with that radio blaring as it was.
No. He could have gone to the living room above and fired two shots with Clinton's Luger that Ada had given him wrapped in an initial handkerchief of her husband and... thinking that he'd killed both Clinton and the gal when he saw them fall, he could have dropped the gun and handkerchief beside their bodies and come back here the same way he went up, while Ada was establishing a swell alibi for him and for herself with Mrs. Bloomington.
Felix and Ada Clinton are in love? Is that it?
No. Oh, no, 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 no. That Ada Clinton couldn't be in love with anybody. Say, wait a minute, Annie. Mm-hmm. She's the beneficiary of a $10,000 insurance policy on her husband's life.
Yeah, that came out when Captain Logan questioned her. Didn't mean anything to him or to us then, because she seemed an impossible suspect.
Well, wait a minute. It's veterans insurance, Annie. GI insurance she has.
Well, so what? You've got a theory and she has GI insurance. It doesn't prove a thing against either her or John Felix.
I think it shows me a way to get proof. Thank you very much for letting me take more pictures of you.
And for this second interview.
You're quite welcome, Miss Williams, Mr. Casey. Frankly, it isn't easy for me to talk to newspaper people or to anyone at this time.
But we appreciate your state of mind, Mrs. Clinton.
I don't think you really can. My husband's going to be executed for murder.
He carried life insurance for you, Mrs. Clinton.
Veterans insurance, $10,000.
Only veterans insurance.
That's okay.
Oh, my. Too bad.
Why do you say that?
Well, most people don't thoroughly read insurance policies, you know. Or if they do, they forget the provision. Have you been like that, Mrs. Clinton?
I don't understand what you mean.
But it's my understanding of the GI policy that if your husband is executed for a crime, you get nothing. Did you know that?
No.
You've had a bad deal all around, Mrs. Clinton. I hope your luck changes. Well, let's go, Annie.
Goodbye, Mrs. Clinton.
Goodbye.
Well, she's doing some hard thinking right now, Casey.
There she is. Annie, yes? Logan and two detectives are all set up in the next apartment with microphones. They've also bored peepholes in the wall. Let's join them and watch and listen.
Mm-hmm.
Casey. All she did was read her husband's GI policy. Also what looked from here like another insurance policy, and then typed a letter or something, which she just folded and put on the table.
You know, the way she typed that letter or something puzzles me, Casey. The gal holds down an expert stenographer's job, but she used the old Hunt and Peck system.
Yeah, that's right. It's funny, isn't it? Yeah.
You couldn't see anything of what she wrote, of course.
No. Uh-oh. She's at the house telephone.
And that means a call to Felix.
Well, at least I'll be able to hear when she talks. You two men can't hog the earphone.
Hello, John.
There she is.
Can you come up right away? Oh, of course it's safe, dear.
Dear?
Hurry, I want to see.
Casey, I'm afraid your hunch is going to make good.
Forfeit says it does, pal.
It's a bet, Piker. Yeah, she may be merely romancing with this John. Neither may have had anything to do with the murder.
There's her doorbell.
Now we'll see.
You two will see. I'll only hear.
Hello, John.
My beautiful Ada.
Close the door.
Yeah. You think it's all right for me to be up here now? Some of those policemen might be watching us.
Why should they be watching us, honey? We haven't done anything.
They see.
That anybody knows of.
That Logan?
Now shut up and listen.
Yeah, you're right. I'm just nervous for no reason.
Well, don't be nervous. Anyway, John, if we were watched, you'd come up here to fix a window for me, one that's hard to open.
Yeah. Give me a kiss, my beautiful Ada.
The gal didn't say no.
You really love me, John.
I am crazy for you.
Would you put that in writing?
In writing?
Yes, I've been thinking. I've never had a love letter from you.
Well, because we see each other every day.
Hey, what's this mush leading up to?
It would take so long to write.
It's a short one, John. Get out your pen and write it on the back of this old letter.
Hey, that's the folded paper we saw her type, Casey.
Yeah.
What shall I write, my darling?
Just, I love you, Ada.
All right. You are such a funny woman, I never understand you. There. I wrote, I love you, Ada.
Well, aren't you going to sign it?
Oh, sure.
Write your full name. John Felix. It'll look better. Yeah. I'll like it.
Yeah, there you are. Anything else?
No. This will do very nicely.
Casey, I don't get this. Over my head, pal.
Now, for my love letter, I want another kiss.
Oh, wait, dear. There is something else I want you to do for me. I wasn't kidding about a window being hard to open. It's that one, John. Will you fix it for me?
Yeah, sure, all right. Well, it don't work hard.
Well, lift it clear to the top.
Well, it slides easy.
Oh, that's funny. Maybe something catches it sometimes from outside. Lean out and look.
All right, I...
She pushed him, Casey. He's falling.
Out of the window?
I get the idea of that love letter stuff now, Logan.
So do I. And now I'm getting that dame. I've got a key to our apartment, so we'll walk right in. Hello, Mrs. Clinton.
Captain Logan.
I believe a man just fell out of your window.
Oh, Captain. Captain, it was John, the superintendent. Captain, he didn't fall. He deliberately jumped.
Tell us about it.
Well, he came up here a while ago acting strangely and asked if he could use my typewriter. I said yes, of course, and he sat down, typed something on this paper that he signed, folded up and handed to me. Then he raised that window. It was horrible.
Naturally, you hadn't had a chance to read the paper he had.
No, Mr. Casey, take it. Captain, you read it.
I imagine it'll be John Felix's confession of the murder of Betty Welch. Don't you, Logan?
I think so, Casey. Together with a declaration by Felix that he's about to commit suicide.
What? Why do you say that?
In appreciation of the act you just put on, Mrs. Clinton, I'm making you a present of these bracelets. You're under arrest for murder.
We'll join the crowd of the Blue Note in just a moment. You know, physicians who specialize in baby care agree that diet is the most important factor in a baby's health. Today, with the many varieties of scientifically prepared, ready-to-serve baby foods, it's simple for mothers to supply nourishing, well-balanced meals without spending long hours in the kitchen. But there's another factor almost as important as food itself, and that is cleanliness. For this reason, if for no other, you should insist, yes, insist, on prepared baby foods packed in sterile, crystal-clear glass jars. Glass has no harmful effect whatsoever on food, either before or after the container has been opened.
The baby food you buy in an Anchor glass container, sealed with an Anchor vacuum cap, is as clean as that prepared in a hospital. Convenient Anchor glass containers used by most of the better packers of prepared baby foods and easy to open, easy to reseal Anchor caps are products of Anchor Hocking. The most famous name in glass.
The Clinton dame made a full confession, huh, Casey?
What else could she do under the circumstances, Ethelbert?
Ada Clinton persuaded Felix to kill her husband while he was visiting Betty Welch, and they could provide themselves with beautiful alibis.
Mm.
Felix did the job as Casey figured, but of course he bungled it by not shooting Clinton as thoroughly as he shot the girl.
The general result looked okay to Felix and his beautiful Ada, though, as it seemed certain that Clinton would get the chair.
Yeah, it stopped looking okay when Mrs. Clinton found out she couldn't collect that insurance.
That's
huh?
right. Well, this sap Felix was so crazy about Mrs. Clinton that he'd taken out insurance for her. Mm.
At her suggestion.
Oh, sure. So she decided that since she couldn't profit by the death of her husband, since he was convicted of a crime, she'd free him and cash in on Felix. So she picked out that letter on her typewriter in imitation of Felix's way of... speech.
The letter said he killed Betty Welch and was going to kill himself.
Yeah. Hmm. And Mrs. Clinton folded it so he couldn't see what was typed when he signed his name to the thing.
Say, she's a real bad woman.
Boy, I haven't met him any worse. Hey, wait a minute. That doggone Logan.
What's the matter with Logan?
Well, he didn't pay me that 4 bits.
Oh, Ethelbert, we forgot to tell you. They're showing some of Casey's pictures at the Photography on Parade exhibit at Rockefeller Center.
Well, gee, maybe I'll get over to see him tomorrow night.
Why? We'll all go together. We'll be in distinguished company, my dear fellow.
Prime Photographer, starring Stotts Cotsworth as Casey, is brought to you each Thursday by the Anchor Hocking Glass Corporation, makers of Fire King Oven Glass, Anchor Glass Containers, Anchor Caps and Closures. All products of Anchor Hocking, the most famous name in glass. Photographer is directed by John Deese and is based on the fictional character of Flash Gun Casey, created by George Roman Cox. Original music is by Archie Blyer, and the program features Miss Jan Miner as Anne and John Gibson as Ethelbert. Herman Chittison is the Blue Note pianist. This is Tony Marvin saying goodnight for the Anchor Hocking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, with offices in all principal cities of the United States and Canada. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.